It's WSN's podcast, The Three Wise Men. Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Holbrook alongside Nate Garlock and Miles Holiday. Gentlemen, basketball is in full force, and we are watching some really good teams in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, and you're seeing some teams really step forward as some of the best teams in the area, aren't you? And then you're seeing some other teams that you're watching, just like, you know, they're going to be a lot better at the end of February.
Yeah, and this is really the first weekend. When we get to next week, it'll be the first time that every school in this area has finally gotten on the court and played some basketball.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of teams, because of the football, they're far behind. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, some teams are playing their very first game this
week. I know. Yeah. Marion Local's doing that, yeah. All right, guys, let's do it. The Diamond, Dave Bowen, best thing we saw all week. Miles, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I have a couple, all right?
That's
why it's the things, right? I did the Spencerville last weekend against Crestview, and at the end of the third quarter, Owen sends a ball. The clock is running down. Gets a high screen from Carter Orr, and they're going to take the last shot, and he goes through his legs, gets the rhythm, and just drains a three right at the buzzer. It was just one of those sweet moments. Talked to him after the game about it, and he goes, I was kind of surprised because his shot was kind of off, but just so humble about it because it was one of those schoolyard moves that if any three of us would have made that shot, we would have been running up and down, going in the crowd, celebrating. But he's like, yeah,
would you have been screaming, they're going to count it, they're going to count it?
They're going to count it! It's gone! And then my second great thing that I saw this week, our very own, we're watching her grow up in front of her own eyes.
Oh, yes, right? We are. Nope.
Yep. Yeah. Megan Sherrick, she produced her very first basketball game yesterday, and she survived it with Danny and I on the call. So
it's just the other day we put a little fence around her so she couldn't run away, and now she's on her own.
Do you remember when she couldn't even reach the camera?
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah. So congratulations, Megan.
She cut all both of your mics about 3 minutes ago.
Thanks for the cookies.
Oh, they're so good.
For me, I was over in Shawnee Friday and Saturday. Got to see that program both those nights. And on Saturday night, Beckett Berkey, everybody knows how good of a basketball player he is. And he had gotten off to, by his standards, a slow start. He had a couple of games where he had some foul trouble, had to sit out. Yeah. The scoring wasn't quite where it should be. I mean, he's still averaging 19 points a game, but he wasn't leading the team or anything. He had his coming out party for this season over the weekend. He went crazy. And his best quarter Saturday night against USV in that third quarter, he had a 19-point quarter. Ooh. He could not miss. It was two-pointers, three-pointers. He had three threes in the quarter. He heat-checked himself. They all went in. And it looked effortlessly. And then he sat down and he didn't play the rest of the game. And he still ended up with 29 for the game. But watching him play, it's not forced. You know, I was talking about it during the game. When he takes a shot, it doesn't look like he's putting effort into it. He just kind of goes and, like, a lot of guys you see, they have to get into it. They have to push. They have to, you know, not him. It's just a little flick of the wrist. Nice, easy, smooth shot. Yeah. He never looks like he's rushing. Very smooth shot. It was really impressive to watch.
Do you think he's one of those kids in the area that could maybe one night just go crazy and get 45 or 50?
Oh, easily.
Easily.
He did. You know, last year in that regional semifinal game, you know, the team scored 49 points. He scored 42 of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Guys, for me, I got to go down to Indian Lake last week. Gilly and I had the Indian Lake, Ottawa, Glendorf. Nice call. You called that game. You said Indian Lake was going to pull the upset.
I'm right, a lot. You guys should listen to me way more.
What'd you say? we said it was an upset. Guys, I watched that game. It wasn't an upset. Nope. This Indian Lake team is absolutely legit. And here's the thing. They were 19-6 last year, lost their two best players, and they've got a kid by the name of Brody Reisinger who is a 6'4 sophomore. And when I say he is a 6'4 sophomore, he found the weight room. This is a big, strong kid. Gilly said it best during the broadcast. He said he's got a little Colin White in him, and that's exactly – he can score from outside. He can get to the rim. He can handle the ball. He is an absolute floor general for that team. He is going to be one of the best players in the area, and he's only a sophomore. Hey, we had a great time down in Indian Lake. That's a really good team. That's the best thing I saw last weekend.
Is this a young man that we're going to have to add to the list?
Oh, good Lord.
Not yet. Because I only got to see him once. All right. I'm hoping I get sent back down there, and then I'll start sending him fan letters.
You know, it's one of those things. I mean, nothing. Not taking anything away from Indian Lake. You know, everybody was a little bit wondering where they were going to be. They did lose a lot from last year coming into this year. But this is also an Ottawa Glendorf team that is not the Ottawa Glendorf team that we're used to seeing at this point in the season.
Still figuring things out.
You said the Indian Lake player had a little Colin White in him. Well, you know, Ottawa Glandorf's trying to replace the entire Colin White, right? Like, that's going to take a little bit of time. I think they'll get there, but, you know, they got some things they got to work out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better get him now because they've got a freshman and a couple sophomores that are really good. Yeah. And I know Coach McLaughlin is excited about the junior high classes coming up.
Yeah. Well, everybody forgets, too, Erford graduated as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Batman and Robin left. Yep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, guys, let's preview the WSN basketball games of the week. And I'm telling you right now, game one is a girls' game, and we can't get a bigger matchup this early in the season. You've got the Crestview Knights at 7-1. Their only loss is to Ottaville. They've won 6 in a row. Then on the other side, you've got Grove, undefeated, averaging 64 points a game. They only give up 25 on the defensive end, and they've got maybe the best player in Northwest High in Lauren Ockmoody.
Yeah, did you see, too, though, a rarity, someone other than Ockmoody led them in scoring.
I saw that.
A freshman, Abby Schrader, a 6-foot freshman. She was 3-for-3 from behind the arc, 16 points. How scary is that? If they have a player that's a freshman that's 6-foot, that's going to get better throughout the season. Mm-hmm. They're going to be lights out. But I saw one stat about Ockmoody that is just absolutely ridiculous. 42% from behind the arc on the year. Watch out, man. This is going to be a fantastic game. Nate, are you calling this?
I am not on this call. This is Garrett Mansfield and our own Kelsey Beimer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she'll be there. Yeah. But Columbus Grove has had a fantastic season. Lauren Ockmoody having a tremendous year. But this Crestview team is not to be overlooked.
No.
You know, they just have the one loss. 6 of their 8 games, they have given up 26 points or less. Yes, Columbus Grove has some impressive numbers, but they are skewed a little bit. They have 2 81-point games that really drives that point-per-game average up. They have a game where they only gave up 3 points in a game.
Thanks for showing up.
This Crestview team, I think, is really impressive offensively. They're scoring, 40, 50 points a game as well. This is going to be a very evenly matched game. And, this is one of those ones that we talked about it in the last podcast where it was, this matchup, it's a shame that it's this early in the season because this could potentially be a conference deciding matchup.
Yeah, we hit a lot of this
one
last
is,
week.
This one is feels that same way where it's a shame we're getting this in the first week, second week, or I guess mid-December at this point instead of end of January, early February.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows that Crestview loves the employee pressure, right? Coach Gregory forever has done that. Kelly Gregory, great player she was. Casey Gregory, 15 points a game. The Gregory name just keeps going on and on, right? Well, there's two ways to look at this. If you're going to apply pressure, you're going to wear down Ockmoody because she's going to have to help out with the basketball. Plus, she's going to be away from the three-point line. Or you're going to live dangerously because they're going to break the pressure, and then she's going to find an open spot and transition onto three. So it's going to be an interesting chess match between the two coaches.
Neither of us have this game. None of us. Mm. Who do you like in this contest, Nate?
I think right now, the way that Columbus Grove is playing, I think you got to go with Grove. But I do think both of these teams' games have all been decided by double digits. Yeah. I don't think that'll be the case here. I think this will be a much closer game.
It's a tough call,
right?
Isn't it? I'm going to go with Columbus Grove because I know Ockmoody, she is a competitor and she loves big moments. And this is a huge moment, so I think she's going to step up.
I look at a game like this, and these are two evenly matched teams, but when the best player is on the one team, I always go with them. And I think Lauren Ockmoody is the best player on the team.
And the one thing that's been an issue for Crestview, and I haven't seen them this year, so maybe it's not. I'm just going off of, the last couple of seasons. Depth has been an issue. They haven't been able to go deep into that bench. When you're playing a team like Grove, that can always come into play. How deep can we go? Rotation, people get in trouble. So I think Grove's a little deeper team as well, and I think that helps give them an edge.
Crestview might be a better of the two rebounding teams. Kennedy Kreider, 7 rebounds a game. That could go a long way as well.
Guys, game two is a boys' contest. Wapakoneta at Ottawa. Randy Roberts on our own, Miles Holiday on the call. Wapak comes into this game 2-3 with wins over Bowling Green and Jefferson. Now, they get a late start. They get a late start every year because of football. Sure. But Trey Elkert does a great job of getting – he's not worried about it right now. I'm promising you that. They will get it figured out. They've got athletes. Ottawa Glandorf, 1-2. As we said earlier, they lost to Indian Lake. Guys, they just don't have a consistent scorer right now. And that's not to say they don't have good players. They've got good players. But this is going to take time, and you said it best, to get into the flow without Colin White.
Is it one of those things where they're just not playing enough? You know, because they had a long time off in between games, and you know, you can practice, but until you see other teams, you really don't know what guys are going to do in those situations. No. You saw them. Who do you think some guys that might step forward to be the go-to?
Well, I think right now the go-to guy is Grady Tomazos, but I don't know. Grady's a point guard. You know, he's not a scorer first mentality. He does it. Mm-hmm. We said it on their broadcast. He is a great mid-range game, and that's just lost in today's game. He'll come across the three-point line. He'll take the shot. He doesn't care. They've got, you know, they've got some pieces together. It's just going to take time to gel.
There was a young guy, Parker Shoemaker, you really
like,
right?
I like him a lot. His dad was a really good player. He's a freshman. He didn't get to play a lot the other night. When he came in the game, I looked at Gillen and I go, they got to play that kid some more. And just from what I saw, he's really athletic. He's got a really pretty shot. He's only a freshman, but so was Colin White.
Saw him play quite a bit of football for them in the fall, and his athleticism really jumps off of the field.
Yeah, for Walpock, I think it's just going to be a matter of getting some guys back. You know, this is, you know, the team that they thought they were going to have is not quite the team that ended up being able to get out on the floor. They had some guys decide not to play. You had to deal with the Caleb Moyer injury. Now it looks like maybe he might be back this weekend.
He's in the starting lineup for Friday.
And that could be a huge boost for that team. But, you know, he's also going to have to, you know, make sure that he gets his legs back up underneath him. He's been off for a while. Yeah. You know, you're not quite sure how much he's...
finger too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you don't know what kind of effect that might have on his shot. But that'll be a big boost for him. Kid's a natural leader. I mean, just when you talk to him, when you're around him, you know,
it's impressive.
Yeah, coaches love having guys like that on the floor, no matter how they contribute. So that'll be big for them. You know, it's just right now this is a matchup between two teams that are still trying to figure out who they are. And, you know, early season matchups like that, they're kind of toss-ups.
Well, look at OG. Everybody's saying you're 1-2. What's going on? They're 1-0 in the league, though. So you know, that they're in a good spot. Beat Kenton. Wapakoneta, they do have that go-to guy, though. Ryan Richardson, 17 points a game.
He's a really good athlete.
42% from behind the arc, 45% from the floor. Caleb Moyer's back. And you know he's not going to turn the ball over, right?
That's right.
But the one thing about Wapakoneta that you have to be concerned about, free throw percentage, 57% early in the year. You're not going to win many games when you're not converting those points at the charity stripe.
Yeah. Guys, game three is another boys contest. I think this is the marquee matchup of the weekend when you look at all the games. Patrick Kamler, Josiah Stober on the call, Spencerville at LCC. Look, Spencerville undefeated, led by the sensational Sensabaugh brothers, Owen and Will, Carter Orr. You've got Lima Central Catholic coming in at 3-1 with wins over Elida, Shawnee, and Linkview. Their only loss is to St. Francis. No slouch there. I think this could be a down-to-the-wire type game. Again, I'm going to say it again, this game's going to be played out on the perimeter.
You know, Nick Farley here should get one of those bingo things, right? When you have games like this, that's who you pick the announcers out, because everybody wanted this game right there. Yeah. This is one of those amazing games. Nate, what do you think? The young backcourt of LCC, can they withstand Will and Owen Sensabaugh?
They have the talent. It's hard to say. You know, right now, I think betting against LCC is a bad move, because I think they've surprised a lot of people how well they have started, how well those freshmen have looked stepping into those roles. This is an LCC team that looks incredibly different than the team that finished last year Dayton. Really, the only piece coming back was Jordan Pretty. Now, he's doing what he did last year, and that's giving some pressure off of those freshmen, because defenses can't throw extra help at him, because the last thing you want to do is leave Jordan Pretty open, especially on the perimeter. He has such a great shot and he's so good at scoring. So I think that has helped, and I think that will continue to help. But right now, Spencerville just seems to be playing like the best team in this area. Everything seems to be clicking. It really feels like you're watching a team that is coming into their own, and has finally come. Now, we're early. We're 5 games into the season. They're going to have hiccups. Things are going to get a little rough at times. They always do in these long seasons. But I think the edge right now goes to those guys. They have the more experience. They played in bigger games. And I've said it, I feel like I've said it all fall, and I've been saying it coming into, you know, basketball season as well. No matter how good you are, right, freshmen are going to make freshman mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a knock on anybody. That's just the nature of it.
Well, Danny still makes freshman mistakes
all the time, every day.
Right, like there are still things that they need to learn, and they have to be able to overcome. And there, you know, whether it's just a maturity thing, it's whether it's a pressure thing. There's all sorts of stuff that's going to happen. So I think the edge goes to the Sensenballs right now. I also think that you give them the edge on the inside as well. Absolutely. With Carter or down low. Yeah. And so I think it's going to be a fantastic game, but I do favor Spencerville in this
Still
one.
Still a big point for LCC, who's the inside presence, right? Yeah. I mean, they're so guard-oriented. Now they're very talented guards. You know, pretty. I think if he has to help with bringing the ball up against the sense of balls, that's going to wear him out and limit his ability to score the basketball for them. It is going to be a great battle. I just wish I was on the call. I'm jealous, right? This is going to be so much fun. I had Spencerville events against Crestview last week, and guys, I'm here to tell you, watch out for Jude Stemmen. He's a freshman at Spencerville, and Grady Smith, because those two carried Spencerville in that first quarter. Crestview came out, played a triangle and two, didn't really guard them, and those guys lit it up in the first quarter. In fact, going into the fourth quarter, Will Sensabaugh, only 2 points. And they were still able to win that basketball game because everybody else contributed. This could be a real, real scary Spencerville
team. Yeah, let me give some highlights for LCC. Here's what I'm thinking, guys. They've got some big wins this year already. They went on the road at Lincoln View, which isn't an easy place to win. They've beat Shawnee in the tip-off classic, so you know they're big game ready. And they played a lot of pressure basketball because they beat Elida, and those two guards pressure you like crazy. Yeah. So I don't know that this is a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. And it's in LCC's gym, which is huge. Yep. Now, not that Spencerville has a long road game, you know, but this is still factors that can play into LCC's favor.
Well, LCC's one loss was a 2-point loss at Toledo St. Francis. Right. I mean, they have been right there with all. This is a much better team than I think people thought they were going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
These young guys have done a great job. I think one of the X factors that's going overlooked, which is crazy considering how his football season went, is Brady Parker. Brady Parker is in the starting five on this team, and he's not there for scoring. He's there for his defense. And he typically is picking guys up, especially on the inside. And football season helped him out a lot. Absolutely, he is not shying away from contact. He's very physical underneath there. He's helping move guys. He's helping, you know, guard those bigs. I would imagine we would see him on Carter Orr quite a bit, and that'll be a fun matchup.
He has a rare ability, Brady Parker does, to not need a lot of shots but still contribute to the game.
Right? Yeah, he gets a lot of offensive rebounds.
He gets a lot of rebounds, but then when he finally gets like a perimeter jumper, he knocks it down, and you're like, well, where'd that come from? He hasn't touched the ball in like five possessions. So he's a unique skill set. But last thing about Spencerville, congratulations, Coach Kevin Sensabaugh. Win 300.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Karate Kid, man.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, and you know, one more thing about LCC is, you know, they got a big injury that they got to overcome now. Drew Pester with a knee injury, he's out. You're seeing Matthew Quatman get more minutes now as well. Matthew Quatman,
nice
also
to have him.
Not known for that offense, but another tremendous defender.
Sure,
you could put him out on either one of the sense of balls, and he is going to cause a lot of headaches for those guys out on that perimeter.
Stay out of foul trouble.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Guys, game four, myself and Jack McGuire will be on the call. Shawnee will be at Bath. Shawnee comes in at 5-1. We know about the Berkey brothers. We know about Jagger Hutchins. They come in averaging 65 points a game. They only give up 48 a game. Bath comes in. They've won 3 in a row, guys. This is a team in Bath that went 2-21 last year. They've got 3 wins already, 3 in a row. Dre White doing a great job out there.
Yeah, it's a rematch, too. Yeah, remember the opening weekend, Shawnee really didn't have too much trouble with Bath, 60-41, and honestly, it wasn't really that close in the second half. I did that game. But Logan Markley, 19 a game. Wow, this kid has been absolutely fantastic. He is the king of the up fake. He can get to the middle of the lane anytime he wants. You get the feeling, though, if this is a Bath win, it's got to be like a 39-40 type game.
Oh, you can't
right?
get the slugfest. Yeah,
if they get into the 60s and 70s, this is going to be a Shawnee win. You brought up how great Beckett Berkey is. He is unbelievable. Now, here's the crazy thing about the Berkeys. Beckett, 55% from the field. Trevick, 63% from the field.
And you want to know what they shoot as a team from the free throw line? 75%. Yeah. When your bigs are shooting that well at the free throw line, that's a bunch of points. That's a bunch of points.
But Trevick, 17 points a game, 63% field goal percentage, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Onia, by the way, he's going to steal it 3 times a game.
Nope. He leads that team in almost all offensive categories, and it's been because he's done such a good job of taking advantage of the space he's given because all that attention is going to Beckett.
Absolutely.
Well, now you're starting to see some of that attention have to ease off of Beckett and go to Trevick, and now what's going on? Now here comes Beckett. And then just when you think maybe you got those guys pinned in, they kick it out to Jagger Hutchins, and he drains a 3-pointer. Mm-hmm. And they got guys that can score. They got guys that can defend. Tate Bender's been off to a great start as well this this season. They're doing
shooting a high percentage.
Yeah,
as well.
they're doing some really good things. Like I said, I had them both weekend or both games this past weekend, running clocks in both of those games. They lied on Friday night, USV on Saturday. Yeah. The length of Shawnee, every time I see it, it's so impressive. Those guys are so long. They disrupt all sorts of lanes. They can just sit in a zone defense because they don't have to move. Because they can,
they got great length.
They can still cover so much ground without giving anything up. And then when they put the pressure on, they like to go out. They like to run. They can shoot. They can pull up. It's an incredibly impressive team. Now, I was in Bath last night. I saw Bath against Temple Christian. That Bath offense looked good, and I'll tell you the big difference from, and this is going, it's going to be very interesting to see how much has changed in this second matchup between these two compared to opening tip-off. Zach Welsh has now moved into the starting five for the Bath Wildcats. He is bringing the ball up. He has the ball in his hands every possession. He's the facilitator for that team.
He's kind of like the quarterback.
Weird, right? What a weird concept.
Zach played football, yeah.
Yeah. He had to take a little bit of time, like we've been talking about with these other football guys, and now he's in that starting lineup. What it does is those Logan Markley doesn't have to bring the ball up now. Yeah. Now Logan Markley just gets to go down, and he just gets to run into the flow of the offense. Jackson Foster caught fire last night. He actually led the team in scoring. If he's hitting, I saw Daniel Cole hit a couple of big three-pointers last night as well. They have good comp. It was a much different team than the one that I saw at tip-off. They looked impressive last night. They went out. They had a big win. I forget exactly the point total. I think it was 20 or 25-point win last night against Temple Christian. Things look good. Now, they have a horrible weekend. They have Shawnee on Friday night, and then they got to go and face Delphi St. John's on Saturday night. It's got to be one of the hardest back-to-backs you're ever going to see any team have.
A snowstorm.
But it will be interesting to see how they have built, and just in the short time, and see what Coach White has been able to do to pull them up from just that game one at the tip-off classic to Friday night.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was talking to John Cook, the assistant over at Bath, before the first game of the year, and they were going to start Zach Welch, but they didn't, and he's like, we're still kind of waiting for him to step forward. You know, practice, he's a lights-out kind of player, but he just, in game situations, hasn't got there yet, but we think he will. So I'm glad to see that their fruition is coming into what they thought might happen.
It was a 65-38 game last night, so it was an offensive experience. Explosion. Bath's averaging 50 points a game, and I like what you said. That's where they're going to have to stay at tomorrow night. I don't think if they get into the 60s or 70s, I don't think they stand a chance. But if they keep that score down, I think they got a good chance, and I think it's going to be a much different game.
Turn it into really a Paul Wayne game. Keep it in the 30s. Hold on to the basketball. Too much firepower over at Shawnee.
Yeah. All right, guys. Game 5, Columbus Grove at Crestview. Grove is 0-1. Now, I'll just say this. They got the late start because of football, obviously, but they really did themselves well last week at Arlington. And they played really well. Trenton Braza has a nice game. That was the first game out. And then you look at Crestview, they're 4-3. They've been battle tested all seven games in, and it looks like murderous schedule. But the sheets and sheets inside, that's where this game's going to be won. I got to believe.
Will's got to stay out of foul trouble, right?
Yeah.
If Will can stay out of foul trouble, the Twin Towers that they call the Sheets family over at Crestview is fantastic. I got to tell you, did you guys see the Crestview and Wayne Trace game last week?
I did not know.
If you get a chance, go watch the ending. Randy and I did it, and I've never seen a technical called with 0.2 seconds left at the end of the game. Yeah, Crestview did a great job battling back. You know, it's a rivalry between those two schools, right? Stole the lead with seconds left. They're going to get a win. Wayne Trace inbounds it. They go up for a layup, and there's a foul called. And so Wayne Trace is going to get two free throws to try and tie the game up and go into overtime. But one of the young men for Crestview looks at the official, and we heard secondhand that he said, that was terrible to the official. He gets teed up. So now Wayne Trace has four free throws with 0.2 left and possession of the ball.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Wayne Trace, 1 of 4 at the free throw line. And they didn't get the win. They tried to toss it towards the rim with 0.2 left, and it was well defended by Crestview, and Crestview snuck out of there with a big-time win.
Yeah, Crestview's had a lot of close games. You know, they had that one-point game against Shawnee, you know, close one against Wayne Trace. So you're right. They've been battle-tested. This is a team that at 4-3 really feels like they've already been through it, right, for it only being mid-December. So they are way ahead of where Columbus Grove would be.
That's what I was going to say. It's just not what Columbus Grove needs right now.
Right, like this is not not, I don't think, a great matchup for Columbus Grove. I think that, you know, you have a good Crestview team anyway, but they're so far ahead of this Bulldog team that I really do think that Crestview is – I favor them by quite a bit this weekend.
Double digits.
Yeah. Well, Wayne Trace, what they did, because Ren Sheets averaged 20 points a game, right? He's an unbelievable player, and Will's, they're big guys, right? So all Wayne Trace says, we're going to sit in the zone, and we're going to challenge you guys. Go ahead, shoot as many threes as you want, right? And Crestview struggles. Man, I've had them twice. They have struggled with perimeter jumpers. And until they can figure out a consistent shooter from behind the arc, that's what they're going to get a lot of, right? Because you're going to pack it in against Ren Sheets, who's an unbelievable player, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best strategy that you can have. You don't shoot the three, beat us outside. We'll come out of the zone if you force it. Other than that, somebody other than Ren Sheets is going to have to beat us. Yeah.
Now, they do have Tommy Hefner, who he showed that he can score. He had 10 against Wayne Trace. He's a slasher type. He's not your shooter type guy from behind the arc. Somebody, go shoot 100 threes a day over there. Do a good job. Now, I do like Columbus Grove's team, though. Look at the roster. It's like 6'1", 6', all guys that can run. It's going to have to be an up-and-down type game for them, right? Because if it gets to a half court trying to defend Ren Sheets and Will Sheets, they just don't have the height to do it.
Mark Shine, Dave Bowen on the call for that game. Game 6, guys, Ottawa Glandorf, Spencerville, Randy Roberts, Josiah Stober on the call for this one. Guys, 2 years ago was the district finals, Advantage OG. Last year, district finals. That was one of the, maybe the best game of the year, Advantage OG. This is the first time in 3 years Spencerville is clearly going to have the advantage in players and maybe in athleticism and, you know, and you want to talk about two legendary coaches.
Oh,
and these guys look like they're 21 years old apiece. Coach McLaughlin and Coach Sensible. Should be a great game, but I really like Spencerville in this one.
I mean, you got to think there's going to be a little bit of revenge on
that. Right?
Coach Sensible will never say it. It'll never be. But you got to think they got to come in going, listen, we don't want this to be close. We kind of want to put this to an end.
And
we
want an exclamation. Run it up a little?
I'm just saying there may be like those thoughts of, let's put an exclamation point on this. Let's let everybody know that it's our time now. You know, they've ran up against the wall. They don't have to face them in tournament play this year. So this is the one time. Let's just put that exclamation point on it and let's help this catapult us to a feel-good rest of the season if you're Spencerville, right?
You know they got the schedule, right? And they went, okay, let's circle that game right there, OG. Don't forget, Spencerville really should have won that game last year, right?
That was one that
OG kind of just, you know, skinned by on that one.
Well, they gave the ball to you know who.
you like anytime Colin White is going towards the rack, that's for sure. But this is definitely a revenge game, right?
It has to be.
Unfortunately, maybe OG at the end of the year, if they play, might be up to the task. But right now, they just don't have the horses against a very talented Spencerville team.
Yeah. Guys, game 7 is Coldwater and Rushi, Mark Shine, Ben Slayton on the call. I said this, and I'll continue to say this. Rushi is my pick for your D7 state champion right now. If I got to go early, I think they're the premier team. They've got the experience. They're loaded, fellas. They've got really good coaching. They've got great tradition. Coldwater, game 1.
Yeah, like
game one.
You couldn't have a worse draw for your first game of the season. And it's not like it's like, oh, it's both of our Rushi's 5-0. They've been winning very handedly. They've looked great to begin the season. And then Coldwater's like, oh, let's go play basketball now.
We got our state championship. Let's try something else.
You know,
and Coldwater's going to be good, guys.
Not
now.
Right. Blackburger's like, where's the laces on this ball? Right? So you like Rushi to win?
I do. They're the only team that gave Richmond Heights anything last year.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. If they played DSJ, do you still like them?
Absolutely.
Okay. I do like Rushi's size.
I've had them twice in the last 2 years. Guys, they're the real deal. They're the real deal. Yeah,
a lot of size on the front court. I think that's going to give a lot of problems to Coldwater, especially Coldwater's first time out.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, nothing against Coldwater. They're going to be fine. They'll be there in the end. It's a horrible first night draw. I mean, it just is. I agree with you though. I think Rushi is one of the premier teams in this area. I think that they should be earmarked for a trip to Dayton. the district assignments finally came out, starting to look at those and see where everybody's at. And I haven't been able to be smart enough to put everything together yet to figure out where exactly the draws may go. But that DSJ-Rushi matchup, I believe it would be in Dayton, would be one heck of a game.
Oh, I'm excited about it if it happens.
Danny already said that Rushi's killing him.
Yeah. Oh, my Delphi St. John's fans, no.
And this is when the flashback comes back when we talk about this in the fall. Like, roll the tape, and it's Danny going, oh, Rushi will kill them.
And I will say this. My favorite place to do game is at Delphi St. John's. I love that gym, man. The Vatican is the best.
Don't try to suck it. But, yeah, Rushi can put out, get this, 6-6, 6-4, and 6-4 on the court at one point in time. So, yikes, watch out.
They got shooters. They got it all. Guys, game 8, St. Mary's, Marion Local. Marion Local, I don't know if you guys know this, they've been playing football for a while. They finally roll the round ball out. And guys, guess what? They're really good. They got a 6'8 kid by the name of Austin Niekamp. I know you guys know who he is. They've got guards. They've got good coaching. They've got it all. St. Mary's, get a little late start. Oh, by the way, you're going down to Coldwater. You're going down to Marion Local. Yeah. So same scenario.
Yeah, and there's other things going on with the St. Mary's program as well, getting used to new voices and players, so there's, you're also facing that along with a late start, so those things usually tend to lead to slow beginnings. I think they'll get better, obviously.
Oh, sure.
The thing with this Marion Local team is that they're so used to this. This isn't going to phase them. First game doesn't matter. This is their every year. Their basketball season at this point doesn't even try to schedule until mid-December. Now, this year, though, they're going a little crazy when you look at that schedule. They have 11 games in 23 days. There is no breaks. They are hitting the ground running. They are playing a ton of basketball to begin the season to try to catch up. It'll be interesting around game 8, 9, 10, what they kind of look like when you go to watch
them. So
I'd imagine here in these early games too, one of the big things that they're going to try to key on is building some of that depth, getting some of those bench guys in. Hey, if we can build in some rest in the game, we're going to need to do that. So who can we rely on? I think some of these early games, they won't be afraid to do that because I don't know that they're overly concerned about whether, obviously everybody wants to win, but I don't know that that's the biggest concern right now. It's let's see who we can rely on, where we can build this rest, how we're going to get this thing going. So when we hit our stride in mid-January, everything's going in the right direction.
Why doesn't Marion Local and Coldwater just play?
Because they're sick of each other.
Yeah.
These guys again. Hey, St. Mary's, though, Jordan Blackburn in his first year, 2-3. So you know he's gotten by that. Well, that's not how we used to do it, right?
Right.
That's always those things. And it looks like they're going to kind of build this program by defense first. They're only giving up 39 points a game, which is a pretty good stat. I think a lot of this game depends on what happens Friday night. St. Mary's has a big one against Defiance, who Bryn Lehman's got them playing good basketball at 4-1. So in the WBL, that Friday night matchup's a huge one.
Yeah. Big matchups on Saturday nights are so hard to prepare for. We talk about that all the time.
Yep.
You work for that conference game on Friday night. You do your walkthrough on Saturday morning, and that's when you do your game prep for Saturday night. And it's really hard for kids. And you know, we used to tell our kids, if we could get double wins, and then if you could get double road wins on the weekend, that's something else. So we'll see what happens.
You talk to coaches and they say we'll prepare for Friday night, and then Saturday night is just about us.
You hope. Yeah. Guys, something funny here. I love this question, and we're gonna get right into it. If you could give one Christmas gift to anyone at WOSN, who would it be and what would be the gift? Let's start with you, Miles, because I can't wait to hear your response.
Oh, my good friend Danny Holbrook, Mr. Drive Time, Hollywood Holbrook, buddy. I would give you the gift of a buzzer beater for every single game.
Do you guys remember when I was getting like every game was like a buzzer beater, and you guys were like, "Why did I get that game?" Like I knew it was going to be a buzzer beater.
Danny, we've forgotten. You don't remind us ever. We have no idea what you're talking about.
Would you like to duplicate his famous call? Would you like to try
it? Best ever.
They're going to count it! Oh, they're going to count it!
It's funny because Dar Nevergall was in the booth with me, and I look over, and Miles is sitting there on the bleachers eating popcorn, showing no emotion, zero emotion. I'm like, well, we just saw the greatest shot in the history.
Because he couldn't hear your call, Danny. He didn't know if they were going to count it yet.
That was the night Ken Ricker was like, oh, holding his ears.
about you, Nate? Are you giving
well,
one?
You know, so you send this, and I listen, I know these things come for miles. And you I've been saying this for a few months now. We've all been spending a lot more time together than we had been previously. I still, after 2 years of being around this man, I still have no idea when he's being serious or when we're joking. I have no idea. So you get this question, and I'm like, well, are we being genuine? Are we being, like, are we getting sweaters for people? Or like what's the point of this
Nate,
here,
it's the
right?
The worst when he's mad, you don't realize
so,
he's mad.
So I'm sitting here thinking, all right, a Christmas gift, well, I don't know, what am I going to get? A box of hot dogs for our cameraman, Jacob from Gold Star, so we can try to flip him to the good side. Going that route with it, am I going to get, do I want to try to capture one of the smartest brains we've been around and get a tape recorder for Mark Shine so it's all this knowledge we can record and keep and benefit so for
wise.
Years and years, right?
Wise.
Like, we want something like that.
Man.
And then I'm like, well, I spend all my time with you guys, so I guess my gifts have to be for you guys, right?
So
what I came up with is, Danny, for you, if I could get you a Christmas gift, I would love to give you the gift of subtlety. All right. If I could figure out how to give that to you, that would be the perfect gift for you. And then for you, Miles, if I could figure out a way to put a book together, and I would want to get you a book of non-puns.
No.
Okay. It's AKA the dictionary. Okay. Those would be my gifts to you guys. And then genuinely from my heart, though, this has been one of the best years I've had in sports, being around you guys. So, you guys have already. I don't even need gifts from you guys. We're gonna, because this has already been the best gift.
Oh my.
Oh my!
Well, thanks, Nate. That was very heartfelt.
Yes, I want to give you my heart, Nate. That's what I want to give you. I'm
better than Jelly of the Month Club.
Yeah. I'm picking our good buddy Randy Roberts. The guy suffers all football season long, and I'm putting his Toledo Rockets in the college football playoffs just for Randy. That poor fella has to go into the booth every Friday night with Miles.
200 plus times.
In the wintertime, it's 2-3 nights a week with Miles. I did it last night. Randy deserves so much more money from WSN.
Hazard pay. Well, now I'm going to bring my dictionary with me.
AKA the dictionary. All right, guys, we are 3 days away from the biggest game of the year for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Yes, I said it, the biggest game of the year. We're done with it.
Biggest playoff game ever.
Yeah, biggest playoff game ever. Ohio State versus Tennessee. Nate, we're going to start with you. Who wins and why? And do not mention Will Howard.
Well, I got to be real honest with you. I thought maybe that the last question was a nice setup
for
my ticket to the game. Yeah. Turns out that was wrong, so I don't feel bad about my gifts to you guys at all at this point. Well. So that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, because Danny and I are going.
Yeah. Don't you guys, I was there when you gave each other those gifts,
I
was like, oh, hey guys, I'm here too. Yeah.
I want to point out though, but before that, you said, I wouldn't want to go.
It's too cold. It's too cold.
You know what? You're right. It's
But if you want to go with us, you need the car and go.
Well, not now. I got to be honest with you. I really struggled. I think in general, I would think that it should be Ohio State. Okay, I really do. I think if you look at player for player, athlete for athlete, you match them up, it should be Ohio State. But, fellas, I've been saying this since, July when we started talking about that. I have just had a bad feeling about this season from the very beginning. And at no point, at any point, no matter what win it was, no matter what, it just has never really gone away. And it's still there. So at this point, I'm just going in expecting the worst in these situations until they can prove that they are what they say they are, which is supposedly the best team money can buy. This is a Tennessee team that they can't overlook. I think that they are going to give them a challenge. I do think that at the end of the day, it's going to come down to whether Will Howard takes care of the football or not. He has to at some point have his Ohio State moment. He hasn't had it. That win against Penn State does not count. He made mistakes in that game, right?
Pick six.
He has to at some point have a moment where he's like, now I'm embedding myself in Ohio State lore. Like, that has to come.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Right? Well, like, it has to come.
Howard, and I'll go, remember that Tennessee game.
So, yeah. And he, you know, whether it starts this week, whether it's a combination of going this week and through a national title, whatever it is, at some point, Will Howard has to show that he's not just a quarterback from Kansas State.
Mm.
How about you, Mike?
Just a quarterback.
Just a quarterback.
Just a waitress. So I want to say the Buckeyes are going to win because, you know, we're Buckeye fans.
I
and we want
that
to,
too,
right?
Yeah.
But I don't have much evidence, right? I'm concerned. We're still shuffling around the offensive line. Last thing I remember is offensive line is very vital to winning football games, right?
That's what they tell us.
Yeah, especially in cold weather.
And we still don't know. Now, it'd be great if Luke Montgomery starts at left guard, which we're hearing because he's right up the road at Finley. And, you know, great for him to get that opportunity. But, you know, it's an offensive line that's underperformed. I get it. We've had injuries, you know, but who doesn't? What team doesn't have injuries during a football season? It's a physical sport, right? You fix those and you move on. Will Howard did not look good against Michigan, right? There's another question mark. Have we figured out who a field goal kicker is for us yet, right? We're Ohio State University, and we can't make 29-yard field goals.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to go in, and we're going to win a playoff game and supposedly beat a really good Tennessee team. Have we figured out the coaching situation yet? Look, you look at, you said, athlete for athlete, you like Ohio State's team, right?
I said that.
You said that, yes. Right? But you forgot about Ryan Day's appointment, right? You forgot about him until he proves that he's a big-time game coach. You know, it's, I'm going to have that doubt. I really think that this is one of those moments where if he loses, it's a win-win for Buckeye fan. Because how do we keep Ryan Day if we lose? Honestly, how does the fan base look at this team and say, you know, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to give NIL money to this program for us to be successful. Oh, yeah, and we still have Ryan Day as our coach, right?
You're taking Tennessee?
I am not taking Tennessee, and I'll tell you why.
All that said,
but because of Jim Knowles and that Ohio State defense, right, only one blemish, they played terrible against Oregon. But other than that, this is a historically good defense at Ohio State. 10.9 points per game. Yep. I don't see them getting beat by Tennessee, who really is a one facet team, and that's running the football. I don't think Tennessee can throw the ball to beat Ohio State. The weather's supposed to be at about 18 degrees at kickoff.
Oh, Tennessee, wants to go to that game. That's
Tennessee
so cool.
Is practicing indoors this week. Yeah, I just think Ohio State's defense is going to be too much for this Tennessee team.
So here's what I think. I agree with everything both of you said. I said on the radio the other day, we need to make him one-dimensional, make him throw the ball. But when they throw the ball, I'm not so convinced that Igbinosin and Burke are the answer out there on the outside. Now, are they capable? Yeah, but we've seen Igbinosin give 2 to 3 penalties every game, and I'm not making that up.
He's
though.
Very That's handsome. That,
yeah. And you've seen Burke maybe have his worst year of the four he's had in Columbus.
I think a lot of you remember, though, the night against Oregon.
Yeah,
I mean, he has not been awful since
then. No, I didn't say he was awful. Yeah. I just said I don't think he's his best year ever. Guys, this is a carbon copy Michigan team. They run the ball well. They stop the run. Their defensive line is the strength. I'm terrified that if they get up by 10 or more, the fragility of the Buckeye offense and defense Ooh. Maybe takes a hit. And then and I'll be honest with you, I'm looking over at John Cooper, Ryan Day biting his nails going, what do we do next? Because look, I had no confidence in him in the Michigan game. I want to believe the Buckeyes are going to win this game. I want to believe that we're going to use our weapons on the outside. I want to believe that we're going to hit some big home runs in the run game. I'm taking the Buckeyes. Yeah.
Gotta find a way to make 10 throws to Jeremiah Smith, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Jeremiah Smith's got to.
What team have they figured out what kind of team they are? Right? Because we watched
what do
all
they do well.
But we watched them throw the football and be told that it's going to be a passing team, right, with complimentary coming from one of the best, if not the best, backfield in the entire country, and that's who this team is going to be, and blah, 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 and all these things. And then they get into the biggest game of the year, and they're just like, oh, no, we're going to try to run it up the middle every play, no matter what, and just completely completely abandon the passing game. So I think Chip Kelly's going to have to step up here and be the offensive genius that we brought him over to be instead of whatever he was doing during Michigan.
You ever seen an offensive coordinator come out 3 weeks after a game and look at the public and say, yeah, I screwed this one up. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, if Chip Kelly would have never said anything, we'd all just still not liked him, but at least he'd have stood on his ground. Now he comes out and says, I screwed up. I should have never done that. Are you kidding me? We knew it. We knew it 30 seconds after the game was over. We knew it in the third quarter.
Do you think he's taking a bullet there for Ryan Day on that one? Because I'm a firm believer that a lot of those calls, because they go through the head coach, right? Chip Kelly's upstairs, right? Yeah, right? I have a firm belief that Ryan Day was very involved in what took place on the offensive play calling against Michigan.
Oh, I firmly believe that, because at the beginning of the season, we were told that Brian Hartline was going to be the offensive coordinator. And how long did that last?
Yeah, last year,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it didn't last at all. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day couldn't relinquish it. This one here, guys, should Jaden Fielding still be the kicker in this game? I think this is absolutely insanity right now. You're in the playoffs. The guy that's competing with Jaden Fielding has never kicked a field goal at Ohio State. He's got one extra point. I get Jaden Fielding struggled this year, but you can't make the change now with a guy that's never kicked a field goal.
And if you're going to make the change, just go out to the College Game Day set and wait for them to do the Pat McAfee kick. Yes. And then if the kid makes it and gets the money, just take him inside and put a uniform on him.
Did you know a guy on one of the TV timeouts made a 35-yard field goal against Michigan and won a prize?
No.
Find out who that cat
scholarship.
Is. Give him some NIL, and he's their kicker.
Probably from Detroit.
So you would go with Jaden Fielding?
I'd have to, Miles. Really? I really would. I can't. Would you run a kid out there that's never kicked a field goal
at Ohio State? Because I've seen what Jaden Fielding can do, right? We saw it last year. Were you happy with him last year?
No.
Were you happy with anything he did this year?
No, but I'm going to dance with the devil that brought me instead of the one I don't know, but I don't know anything about the other kid.
Well, if you're going with the devil, you're going to hell. So I'm looking for another way to go.
It's the three wise men on WS. Guys, if Ohio State loses, does Ryan Day keep his job?
No.
No, you sound like me when I'm doing a call.
It's like Jim Mora in the playoffs.
No. They're going to count it.
No. Ryan Day's coaching next year. Listen, no way Russ Bjork makes that call. There's no way.
It's not going to be Russ
Bjork. He already got the dreaded vote of confidence. The moment that Ross came,
all behind you,
the
right
moment Ross came out and said, no change is happening, we have all
we're
the faith,
all
I was
the
like,
thing.
He's gone. That's it. They've already done it. And then
that's
reported.
So funny.
Did you guys see the reporting today? That Vrabel would be the favorite.
Yeah, well, duh. Yeah.
So, but the people aren't just guessing at that point. When those start coming out, there's things happening. There's conversation.
Backdoor.
Yes. Yeah. So he loses.
I don't think he's too far off.
He's going.
No, and so that gets back to win-win, right? But I family win.
I said Russ Bjork wouldn't make that call, right? I said there's no way he'll fire him, right? And I was right, because Russ, it ain't going to be Russ Bjork doing it. It's going to be NIL money. It's going to be big money boosters. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be
– I mean, look, at the end of the day, you're running a business now. With this NIL stuff and all these things going on, this isn't college football as we knew it. You can see it now. There's things – you know, contracts are being offered to kids. That's the new language here in the NIL, right?
Sanity.
Like, so this is a business. You are running a business. You have millions of dollars being funneled into your program. If people are like, hey, we're not going to give you all of this money if he is still here, okay, and they're going to make a change. It's just how this is going to go now.
Yeah.
If you thought boosters had control before, it's times 100 now.
I know we don't have this on the sheet, but let me just say this. This is so far out of left field from what the NFL does. When you think about it, if a kid is at Ohio State or Michigan and he wants to leave, there's no stopping him. There's no talking him into it. He can go where he wants, right?
Yeah.
If I'm in Cincinnati playing for the Bengals, I can't get up and leave. I'm under contract. Mm-hmm. I've got 3 or 4 years that I got to do this. I know what's got to happen. There's restrictions. There's guidelines. There's nothing in the NCAA. It's insanity. And they're... I firmly believe in the next year or two, they're going to have to come down and make complete sweeping changes. What was wrong with the old system?
Four years,
food, board, books, play football.
I've never had any issues with the NIL. We've had this conversation a bunch of times between the three of us. NIL doesn't bother me. But if you're doing the NIL now and these guys are getting paid, this is your job. This isn't a hobby anymore. This isn't a passion of yours. This isn't your way out. This isn't paying for your education to set you up. This is different. And the moment you sign a contract, there are different expectations on you. It's just that
it'll
simple.
It'll be interesting.
You have a contract that you have to fulfill.
It'll be interesting to see the graduation rate in the next 5 to 6 year cycle after NIL comes in.
I think it goes up because guys are staying. Look at what's going on with Quinn Ewers right now. He has a $4 million contract on the table from an undisclosed team to keep him in college for one more year and forgo the NFL. The entire Ohio State team forgo the NFL to come back, not because they wanted to beat Michigan, win a national championship. That was a part of it, but it's because they were going to get paid to do it.
Yeah,
I think you see graduation rates go up because guys are not in a hurry to jump ship for cash because some of them are going to make more cash in college.
Well, Nate, when I was 18, 19 years old, I was an idiot, and some might say I still am. But
if someone
gave me a great deal of money, and I had $4 million or whatever, I'm not going to class. I'm spending some of that money, exactly, right? So, exactly. But I think it's probably funny
you think they go to class before they got money.
A lot of it is, there's so many online courses now that they take. But I think, guys, in the next 10 years, you're going to see football at the collegiate level just be football. There's not going to be any expectation that these young men actually go to class. They can if they want to. Yeah. But these are going to be football programs that represent the university. And it's really going to be what it is. It's just you're paying kids to play football for that school because it's a money maker. Now, to get back to the Ryan Day thing, doesn't mean that he has to get fired if they lose, right?
Right.
We've seen coaches get reassigned. Yeah. They can move him up. He could do the whole thing like, you know, guys, I'm just burnt out. NIL's killed me. The portal's killed me. I need a break, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay with the university. I'm going to help Ross Bjork out. I believe in Ohio State. I'm going to be an assistant AD. Or he goes on to the NFL, which you know might be more likely him, right? Yeah. It might be what Ryan Day needs. That being said, though, I want Ryan Day to win on Saturday. I want him to win the next time in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. Yep. I want him to go on and win a national title because if that means that we've invested, how many, 5-6 years he's been the head coach now? Yeah. He's learned some lessons, right? He's not a polished product, but if he wins a national title this year, he is going to be a lifelong coach for us and do a great job.
I'm here to tell you, fellas, if he wins Saturday, I can promise you this, he's going to walk off that field and go, and I think you're going to see a different Ryan Day at the Rose Bowl. And I think the Buckeyes are going to play free, loose. And I like that. I like their chances if they get
like
by
they
Tennessee.
Did against Georgia.
Exactly.
A couple years ago.
Yep. Exactly. I really do.
I never want to see that Ryan Day that was patrolling the sidelines against Michigan. Nope. That was a terrified. Yes. Channeling John Cooper. I want George Patton out there. And he was not him.
All right, guys, let's change gears a little bit. Who's the best team in line of land? Who's your Stolly Superstar of the Week? I'm talking round ball.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I got to go with Spencerville. I've seen them twice. And just the contributions that they're starting to get from guys other than the Big Three, this is going to be a fantastic team moving forward because who do you limit, right? Who do you take away? And I will say this about them. If you put the ball on the ground with more than 2-3 dribbles, it's going the other way. They pick your pocket, and it's a layup on the other end, man. They are phenomenal.
Yeah. For me, it's Shawnee. You know, both their games on Friday and Saturday night, they scored over 70 points. They had a running clock in both those games. Defense was working. Offense looked good. They looked like the team that I think a lot of people thought they were going to be coming into the season.
Right.
They got off to a little bit of a slow start, a little bit of sloppy play, not quite that dominant team that we thought we were going to get out of Shawnee. They look like that team over this weekend. They played phenomenal basketball. It was a lot of fun to watch them. And if that's who we're going to get for the majority of the season, it's going to be rough for a lot of teams.
That kind of a slow start might have been a blessing for them.
Yep,
huh?
I agree.
I got Spencerville too, Miles. I think they're the most complete
because we're smart.
Team. Yeah, yeah. I love Coach Kevin Sensabaugh. I think he's one of the premier coaches in the area. He does a great job with you know, even when years ago when they weren't that good, you could see what he was doing and what they were building that program. I love their guard play. They've got size. They've got it all. So for me right now, it's Spencerville and my Stolly Superstar of the Week. Guys, you guys are going to laugh because I've picked the Sensabaugh brothers so much. I'm going Cam Elwer. This kid is averaging 30 points a game.
Yep.
He's a junior. He's getting ready next weekend to break the school scoring record.
He's a junior.
Yeah. You know, I love the Sensabaughs. This kid is flat out a scoring machine. It'll be interesting to see what he does after high school because there's a lot of talk. Can he play D1? Can he play D2? What level can he play at?
Has an offer from UT.
I know, right? And like, I don't think you should question the kid. I don't think you should doubt him because he is flat out. I say this all the time. He's one of those ticket kids. You'd pay a ticket to see him play.
When it's all said and done, if he stays on this pace, he's going to be top 10 in scoring in the state of Ohio.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
he's Jay Burson. He's Jay Burson.
Yeah, he's going to be phenomenal.
I just want to point out, though, that you picked Rushi to win it all.
I did.
I want to
I got it my letter almost right into the can. Hey,
wouldn't you love to see, with all the great talent that we have in the Lima Land area, a one-on-one tournament with these guys? Because I have a guy that I think might win it all, and that's Owen Sensabaugh. Because
is that your Staly Superstar?
That's my Staly Superstar of the week. Can shoot from the three. He can beat you off the dribble. He can defend you. I think in a one-on-one tournament, he's a tough out.
And I, you know what? And I honestly, I got a guy who I think could win it all over those guys, and that's Beckett Berkey.
Ooh,
he's 6'8". He moves like a guard. He can shoot from the outside. He can get you, even if you get a first step on him with that length, he can get the blocks coming from the backside.
Yeah.
You know, all-around great player. He had a great weekend.
Good
he's
kid,
playing,
too.
He's playing phenomenal basketball right
now. Yeah, I interviewed him after a game. Very impressed with him. What kind of temperature has he gotten from colleges?
You know, I haven't really heard. I think his stuff has been pretty low-key, but with his size and with what he's been able to do, you got to imagine that he's going to have a lot of schools. I would think he's going to see, you know, a lot of attention from D1.
He if not, I'm telling you, he'd be a perfect fit over at Tryon with Brooks Miller over there. That he would. Or Albion. Go to Albion. I want you to play at Albion.
Well, guys, the holidays are upon us. Look, from me to you guys, Merry Christmas to you and your families. I love both you guys. You do a phenomenal job. And we were going to take a break here, and we're coming back January 8th. So if you miss us out there, we'll be back January 8th.
I'm going to spend my break going through my new dictionary.
I knew it'd come in handy.
You've been listening to the Three Wise Men on WOSN. We're back here with Trenton Barraza, Columbus Grove All-State senior running back. Trenton, thanks for coming in tonight.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to let Miles introduce why we brought you into the studio to be part of the Three Wise Men.
Well, we selected you, Trent, as our Offensive Player of the Year, well-deserved award, 2,600 yards rushing, 38 TDs. You did absolutely everything for Columbus Grove. I heard that if they needed you to drive the bus to the games, you could have done that as well. Rumor has it that you were selling hot dogs and popcorn at halftime for the boosters. We just thought you were an absolutely amazing football player, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I will always go back to that big game against Bluffton, and you just left no doubt early in that football game what a dominant force you were going to be. So it was a unanimous decision by the three of us that you are going to be our Offensive Player of the Year, and so congratulations.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Trenton, let's talk a little bit about the season. You know, what a fantastic season you guys had, and you know, it came to an end with a really good Marion Local team.
Yeah.
Going into that Marion Local game, I know you guys felt really confident. You prepared all year for that type of game and being in that environment, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, going into that game, we were really confident. You know, we thought we were going to be the team to break the streak, you know, beat them. You know, they've been the state the last how many years? Don't even remember at this point. But, you know, that's the game we wanted. Myself and a lot of my other teammates had parents on the 2003 state team that beat the Marion Local team to win state. So not winning that game was just, it meant a little bit more than the others, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Do you know, a lot of times we talk on here about, you know, not just the wins and losses of playing on a high school football team, but the camaraderie. You know, talk a little bit about your teammates and what the last 4 years at Columbus Grove has meant to you as a person, not just a football player.
Well, I remember first day going in the weight room of freshman year, we were all scrawny ninth graders.
And it's funny you should remember that. Seriously, yeah.
I do, and then we're lifting with guys that are – huge, because you know there's seniors in there that are, you know, they've been there for 4 years. You know, I just remember those moments, and I remember you know, just growing with each other and, you know, being with each other the last I don't know how many years since midget football. It's like what, third or fourth grade. You know, just building our relationships and, you know, our play styles and, you know, getting to play with each other is just a good feeling.
Yeah, that week going into the Marion Local game, what was that week like? I you know, the older I get away from my high school career, you remember less. But
that's
it's still
a long time ago.
I know. It's still fresh in your memory. And what a special time to be a football player in that moment, getting against the play against Marion Local. What was that week like? I mean, did you get any sleep at all?
We got sleep, but very minimal. You know, we were super amped going into that game. The whole week was amped. The whole town was amped.
Yeah.
That's what I love most. You know, everyone's into it, not just the football team. But, yeah, that week was pretty juiced week for us.
You know, not just this season, but your entire career has been very prolific. You've put up numbers. You've broken almost all the offensive records over at Columbus Grove. When it's all said and done now and you've had some time to kind of look back, and I know you're already into basketball, but you know, hopefully you've had a little bit of time to kind of reflect over your football career at Columbus Grove. And all the guys that you say, you know, over the years, I've heard interviews with you, I've had a chance to talk with you before. You talk about a lot of the guys that you looked up to and a lot of the guys that you wanted to be like when you were a kid. And now, have you really had a chance to kind of let it sit in that you're that guy now for a lot of kids as they see your name, the numbers that you put up, and it's going to be like, I want to be like Trent Brazza when I get into high school?
I've heard it around the hallways here and there, the little kids. That's what I love the most is just, you know, like all the little kids, they obviously know who I am. I don't want to be like cocky about that or anything, but they know who I am around the halls, and I just have like a relationship with all of them. Like they call me Bobby, or they call me Trent, or you know, just when they see me, they just say like a friendly hi, and that kind of gives me a lot of like, that gives me pretty good confidence, and just makes me feel good about myself knowing that although we didn't win a state championship in football, as long as I could have set a good example for the young kids, that's all I needed.
What does the future hold for Trenton Barraza as far as what do you want to do in college? I know you want to play football in college. Do you have some offers now? Can you talk about that a little bit and what you want to major in?
Yeah, I think right now I've got like 7 or 8 offers, three of those being D2 or NAIA, so those are pretty good. And as far as major goes, I'm going in with a business major, but I don't really know what I'm going to do with it yet.
And you should. Yeah.
You got time. Any autographs you've signed in the hallways yet for little kids?
I signed about 5.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. Danny, did you bring your football to sign it? I did.
Hey, talk a little bit about you and Coach Schaefer and what he's meant to the Columbus Grove program. I know you guys are pretty tight.
Yeah, we are pretty tight. I remember in an interview, he said that when I was in eighth grade, he said that I was going to be something special when I got into high school. And when I heard that, I didn't hear that till like sophomore, junior year maybe, but when I heard that, I think it just kind of, you know, it just kind of made me feel good about myself. But, you know, these past 4 years with Coach Schaefer, I've really been, I'd say, like a movie. You know, we've been through it all, I feel like. You know, we've had rough days together. We've had good days together. I've seen him at church here and there sometimes. You know, we see each other a lot, and I feel like, you know, he's just really grown. I don't want to say like a best friend, that he'll probably call me weird at school tomorrow for that. But he's become a friend of mine, and we're going to have a good relationship outside of football.
So playing football for a long time, you've been playing since you were a little kid, you said. At what point in your career did it kind of click with you like, hey, you know what, I might be pretty good at this?
Let's see. Maybe after sophomore year when I first got – my All-State award. It was an honorable mention award, All-State, but I knew I wanted to play football like at the highest level when I was in like maybe like seventh grade, though, like after junior high. That's what really all started.
I want to go back to your game against Marion Local. Look, let's be honest. That is one of the greatest teams in the state of Ohio history, right? Yeah. No shame in losing to them. When you're playing against them, we've watch them from afar, we've studied them, but we haven't had a chance to play against them like you. What are some things that you took out of that game after playing them?
Honestly, when we played them, from my perspective, I didn't think they were in like anything different from any other team. But I mean, I don't know if it was just the guys around me or like if it was just my ability to make plays or whatnot. But I mean, they're definitely a physical team. They have really good technique. Just got a lot of built kids. A lot of built farm kids, I like to say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's all just their coaching. They got a really good coach. You know, they attacked. When we ran the ball, they knew we were going every single play.
Really?
Yeah. It was just, you know, it sucked. But, you know, they're a good team, so they're gonna make good plays.
When you guys were studying them, were there anything at all that you said, well, we could probably take advantage of this? Because when we watched them, they looked like they didn't have many weaknesses.
Yeah, I think it was all really just about blocking schemes for us. You know, if you get this block or that block, then, you know, we should be able to bust one for about, you know, maybe 15, 20 yards. But, you know, other than that, it was just hard-nosed, tough football.
Now that your time is over at Columbus Grove, does your brother move up to take some leadership roles in it?
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. He's going to be a senior, so he doesn't have a choice.
Well, Trenton, congratulations. We couldn't be more proud of you. Like Miles said, it was a unanimous vote when we came up with the Offensive Player of the Year, and just an incredible four-year run, an incredible year, and you know, we really believe that you're going to do something special in your life.
Well, so, without a doubt, and I'm kind of curious, too. What has that transition been like in basketball? I mean, everybody else has been playing four or five games already, and you guys just had your first one last week. How tough has that been after football ended, getting right into basketball right away?
Well, we didn't take any time off. We kind of got jumped in, like, right away. Took a little easy, but, you know, still rough on the legs, especially first game, playing an Arlington team that's played five or six games already, so that was a little tough. But, you know, we got Crestview this weekend. I think we can put up a good fight against them and hopefully get a win.
All right, that's one of our games this week, you guys against Crestview. Give us a little bit of a glimpse. What are you guys looking at as far as Crestview? What can you do against them? I know they got Ren Sheets and Will Sheets. They're big inside, and you guys, everybody's about the same height for you guys.
Yeah, we don't really have size, so we're really, this year, really hard over height, really. But, yeah, they got the NWC Player of the Year for basketball last year over there, so, you know, we're going to have to be physical with him in the paint, especially being undersized. But, you know, other than that, I think we'll be all right.
Trent, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's been a pleasure to watch you the last 4 years, man. We're going to miss seeing you on the field, but we're going to look forward to watching you play in college. Definitely let us know where you're going to play.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, thanks. All right.
Thank you.